bird. Welcome to the Friskies Express. Please keep all paws and tails inside the train. To the right, you'll see Crunch Canyon. To your left is Filet Falls. Now you're passing Party Mix Peak. Today's delicioso tour is almost over. But don't worry. With Friskies, there's always more to explore. Check out friskies.com to explore more.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, friends. Welcome to a whole new year and a whole new season of Revcovery, a podcast about leaving ministry, thinking about leaving ministry, thinking about changing your vocation, whatever your vocation may be. I'm Sarah Heath, and this is my co-host,
Justin Gentry. And we are just very happy to have you here with us in this new year, 2023.
I know.
That sounds very futuristic. I feel like I should have mirrored shades and like a trench coat and be riding a motor.
And be what?
Be like riding a motorcycle and like literally surfing the web, but we're not. So.
And hovering. I feel like your motorcycle would be like hovering.
Like a hover bike. Yes. Hover bike?
I don't have it. Yeah. There's so many things. It just feels like whoa, 2023. I don't know. It just feels like a monster truck show or something.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 2023. And it's been already like a super weird year, I'll be honest. But we're here.
It has. And I was hoping for a boring year. That was my hope for the new year, that 2023 would be
precedented.
Boring.
You're hoping for a precedented year.
a year that's just like the history books don't note anything.
No important events
are allowed to happen.
Yeah, it's been a little weird, but we're all here. We're all still here. And that's great. And so we're excited about the season. This is going to be a hard one for me to keep under wraps because we have a lot of great guests coming up.
We do.
And then a lot of great topics to talk about. Discord has been blowing up lately. Justin and I were just talking about before we started recording that both of us need to get on it more.
Yeah, it's true.
We might be terrible people. Just yesterday, I was walking around my neighborhood with my dog, Tenor, who's doing much better for those of you who've been following the Tenor saga. And I ran into some neighbors of mine, one of which used to be in ministry. And he was like, hey, that podcast you have, man, I wish you guys had started that earlier. He's like, it's so helpful to like me of a couple years ago. So that makes me feel really good that people wish it had been around. So hopefully we're not too late. We're late adopters.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to create something and just make space for the thing that we didn't really have. There weren't a lot of people having this conversation, at least as frankly, or it was unfortunately ministers that were still in that were talking about, you know, people that leave can't hack it. And that's not just not helpful for anybody.
No. Or like the idea that like, yeah, they can't hack it or there's something like morally wrong with you, or they needed to talk about how selfish you were, because really I find a lot of folks talk about it that way because they themselves have had that questioning thing. It's kind of like, when my friend was getting a divorce, all of his guy friends that were like super churchy people were like, dude, I don't know why you're doing this. And then one of them eventually called him and was like, hey, I just need to let you know, like, I totally agree with what you're doing. But if I can admit that you can leave, then I'm afraid that I'll know that I can leave.
Exactly. Like that's in most things that you feel stuck in, whether it's a job, relationship, whatever. When someone around you leaves, you're like, we can do that.
That's a door. I 100% didn't know that was a door.
And I think it elicits a response in you. And sometimes that response is like to shame the other person in some way, or to, you know, like, you know, I can hack it. I can cut it. I'm tough.
Yeah.
I'm a big boy. That person couldn't do it. Or to be like, oh man. And then you secretly call them or slip them a podcast.
Yeah. The number of slipped podcasts. I kind of like that we're a dirty little secret.
Yeah, we are. We're like the, you know, I would like to think that right now there's a minister listening to this podcast right now in their office.
Right.
And then their senior pastor walks in and they like jump really quick. And they're like, what are you listening to? Like, well, Mark Driscoll.
Murder podcast.
Something.
Mark Driscoll or a murder podcast is better.
Yeah. I he might end up on a murder podcast. Who knows?
Oh, bless him.
The saga will continue. True crime, something or other.
Oh, he 100% needs his own true crime podcast.
But anyways, yeah, just, you know, if that's you, see you and we love you and welcome. And
so glad
we've
you're here.
Been there too.
Yeah, big time. So launching into 2023, friend, how are things? Like, we'll just do a quick check-in before we hop into, which I think is going to be an incredible conversation, but how are you doing?
Things are, you know, things are things. I mean, it's since the pandemic started, I think it's like every day is a day at a time. And even though it's like over with asterisks and quotes and,
right,
you know, for enough people, it's over.
Right.
To make it life difficult. And so I think, and I was tweeting with somebody about this. Like, I think the pandemic
is the way we say that. I don't know. I'm not tweeting. A Twitter person.
Well, because I was going to say talking, but it's like, I wasn't really talking with them. I wasn't really even messaging. Mm-hmm. We were on the Twitters. On the Twitters, I had an encounter. Okay. However you want to imagine it took place. And just saying, like, the pandemic really reorganized a lot of priorities, either consciously or unconsciously for folks. I know. And lately I just walk into a new year and it's like, well,
no expectations,
no here goals. We are. Like, just to continue to do good work. And, you know, so it's an interesting thing. I think new year, new me, like, that feels so 2019.
Oh, 100%. New year, same me. Still here.
2020 part three. Let's do it. Like,
2020 to the third.
Let's do it.
Here it is. We're here. I think it's interesting because I've been trying to set intentions, like, you know, okay, here are the things. The word, you know, that kind of came to me this year was release, like, let go. I have been holding on to so many things and setting goals and being intentional and all this sort of stuff. And I think I could do with a little more like release and letting go.
Yeah.
Which is hard for me. I'm a 3 on the Enneagram. I need a plan. I will win that plan. But I just, the last couple of years, I mean, since 2021 for me, when I left working at a church, like, I am learning how to set different kinds of goals and how to just be. So yeah, rolling into this year was interesting. I was like, I feel like I should be writing some sort of, you know, agenda or plan, itinerary for the year. But instead I'm like, here are some things that'd be great. Also just like therapy. Therapy's been good.
I think it's just this weird inertia of the expectations of any season of life, whatever it happens to be, where it's like, well, this is the time we goal set. So
right.
I guess I have to do that now. But if I'm honest, it's like, my goal is to survive this year, to get healthier via professional therapy. I shouldn't even say to be healthier, to regularly attend professional therapy, to just let happen what happens. I don't know. It is, I guess, surrender or release is a good word to have, because it's, I don't control this mess. I think it's funny, when I was in ministry in the game, I would have said that exact phrase, like, I don't control anything, you know,
right?
God does. When I say it now, it's a very different energy behind it.
Yeah. Is it a hopeless energy? What do you think?
It's almost, I can use a philosophical term, it's almost like an optimistic nihilism.
Oh,
or
okay.
Just like, I don't control anything. I'm fine with it. I think before I would have said, oh, I don't control anything, you know, and then, asterisk, but God does. It was kind of like, I don't control anything, so you better, like,
I really kind of liked a little bit, if I'm being honest, which I've always been honest on the show, I really kind of liked that. I liked kind of being a little bit out of control. As someone who's so controlling, I think it was nice to have a little freedom.
It is. And so I guess just realizing I can control kind of myself, kind of, and that's really it. And just continue to show up every day and continue to do my thing. And so it's not nothing's in control. That's just whatever. But I don't know. I'm trying to embrace a little more optimistic nihilism and to be like, yeah, I don't know anything. Maybe this doesn't have any meaning, but I can create some meaning in it. And that will get me through the week and the day and
maybe
the year.
Maybe it's a good thing. Yeah. instead of it being a bad thing, maybe it's something.
I guess just to be curious about it.
Curious is like my favorite word.
It's a posture I'm trying to more intentionally adopt simply because there's just some things I'm not curious about that I would like to be a little more curious about. That's where I'm at.
You know, this falls really into the conversation that we were planning to have. By the way, like, can we just get a shout out for two ADHD humans who met a couple weeks ago and like set out an entire season?
We did.
Really like this show.
Folks, we love doing this show. We love you guys.
You're the best. We both were like, we need to be on Discord today. We love this. And so we talked about like, what are the things that like we want to start talking about as the year started. And, you know, as the year started, we were talking about how a lot of people set these intentions or these like rhythms or these goals. And it kind of made us think about how much those have changed since we've had either a vocational shift or a mindset shift. Why can I not say that?
Mindset shift
was what I was trying to say. Mindset shift.
That is a tongue twister.
For whatever reason.
I don't know why, but it is.
Me neither. Like, it's hard to figure out kind of what holds you accountable and what are you, you know, sort of, kind of, you want to word sort of how you were thinking about this conversation?
So I've been playing around with the word discipline or self-discipline. I think because it became so
radioactive.
Radioactive. Not radioactive.
I've got you.
Radioactive. It became so toxic to me. I don't want to think about self-discipline. I don't want to think about discipline. That just feels too much like church discipline or too much, you know.
Yeah, the word weird, discipline seems hard. Yeah.
Weird God stuff went in with it. Weird parent stuff went in. And so I kind of distanced myself from that. And I don't really have a good word. So I've been trying to reacquaint myself with that word.
What do you mean when you say self-discipline? Like if someone's like, what does this person mean by that?
It has become.
Willpower?
Yeah, I guess maybe not willpower. I guess more of a setting up my life in such a way that when I say I'm going to do something, I am able to do it and I have the ability to do it. Because I just find that I have ADHD, so self-discipline is going to be, I'm already at like a -2 for that. You know, like
yet you're literally someone I know who works out all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's because I'm running away from things. Thankfully, I have at least one healthy vice.
I ran 10 miles yesterday, and it was probably away from everything.
You know, so if you find those healthy vices, and actually, I think it's understanding that, okay, my brain is my beautiful mind. Let me back up for a second. I think I went through a season of really trying to come to terms with my ADHD. And accept it and love it and be okay with the fact that my brain just does not work the way that society expects it to, the way a church expected it to, the way that I would like it to. And so and in that loving, I let a lot of things go. Regular bedtimes, regular wake up times, you know, just like, but you know, I'm just going to just meander through life. And I think that was a good season for me. And I had the ability to do that because I worked from home, you know, and working from home, you can kind of set your own schedule in a lot of ways. And so, if you work a blue collar job or something, I would not recommend this path for you, or a job that requires you to be there. But I had that freedom. And so I gave myself that permission to do that. But now I'm starting to be like, okay, let's try to renegotiate my relationship with meaningful boundaries just to kind of channel this a little bit better.
Because when it was the church boundaries and there was like sort of this idea of like, I'm going to do this to be pleasing unto God. You know, I will wake up and do morning devotional. Well, now I'm waking up and doing 3 pages, and sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. So that's the artist way. And it's like 3 pages a day in the morning. So it's it is a little bit of a discipline or a task. And it's a thing that like, I mean, statistically is even shown is so helpful. And yet it's hard to do it every morning. So for me, now that I work at a coffee company, I am at work really early and I have a dog. So I have to walk my dog. And the thing about COVID is that I started walking my dog really far. So we do like a mile walk in the morning. So it's not a short walk. And so I've got to get up early, get him out the door, also do this like writing 3 pages a day. Also, you know, I used to do an ab workout twice a day, all these things, right? As an ADHD person as well, you know, I have all these, I always feel like I'm a failure if I start the day without even reaching all those things. So I shoot to be at work at 8 o'clock. That's not what they've asked of me, but that works out for my schedule because I work several jobs right now. And it's so funny because it's a bit of a drive. And I always make it like 8:05 and I just laugh because it's the most ADHD thing. Cause I'm up at like 5. Like, why does it take me so long to just get into the day?
Yeah. 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 That happens to me quite a bit. And I think I would like to do more research on this just personally, but I think there's a lot of ADHD folks that fell into church life because consciously or not, we crave structure. Like, because we're not very good at creating structure for ourselves. And so we crave structure. And so for some people, that's the church, you know, and there is a lot of
ADHD. A lot of boundaries that you don't
There's a lot of boundaries.
About.
There's a lot of rules. There's a lot of, you know, very clear right and wrong. This is why a lot of ADHD folks gravitate towards the military, even though technically they're not supposed to be in there.
Oh, really?
Technically.
Oh, yeah, no, because we don't have...
I know ADHD folks that were told by the recruiter to not mention the thing.
Right, because we're really fast, but we're not always accurate, which is not great when you have a gun.
Well, when the funny thing is when everything's chaotic, we're actually quite calm. And so you have structure for all of your days, which is great. And then when things are chaotic, you're actually cool as a cucumber.
So you might be the best military person and in some ways the best church person because everything's different every day. The problem is I think at some point it like switches over where you're like, you want the structure. So like it gives you a lot of rules, but it doesn't give you a lot of structure. Yeah. I think you got into it thinking it would give you structure and rules and it's just rules.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us now that we've kind of walked out, you know, taken a step back from the church, I think we feel very duped in some ways. And I just want to say, I know this is kind of more ADHD central. It's not our entire audience, but I would just want to say for ADHD and even I would cautiously lump in autistic or other people with other neurodivergencies that have now stepped out and been like, I wasted time. I wasted my life or whatever. It was like you were subconsciously or consciously, your brain was directing you for what was going to work in that moment for you. And that doesn't work anymore, but that's not really your fault. And now we have to figure out, okay, what works for us now that we abandon that structure or set of rules. And so now we have to figure out what do rules look like now? And what does discipline look like now? And is it even something that how do I have a good relationship with structuring my life when I abandoned structure that was not good for me?
Well, and we've all seen sort of the telltale or like sort of the person who leaves the church and goes buck wild according to the world standards, whatever that might be. And then they're the person that everybody points to and goes, that's what happens when you leave ministry. You know, there's like a girl who's super famous on, I always get this wrong, OnlyFans. Is it fans only or OnlyFans?
It's OnlyFans, but I enjoyed that little struggle for a moment.
Okay. I know.
You can also say mostly pans.
Mostly pans.
I've heard that OnlyFans.
Yeah. She is a former clergy member who is now like a model on that. And everyone's like, that's what happens. And it's like, well, I feel like there's a couple steps before that. But also, how much is she making? Like, how's that going for her?
Probably.
Taxes like.
Great.
I think there is.
Is Sarah going to start OnlyFans?
Oh my gosh. It would just be like me hanging out, like working in the workshop. Are you really into girls who wear Carhartts? There's got to be a market.
I'm sure. Actually, honestly, if you set up a camera and just live streamed you working on your trailer and just like telling a joke every now and then, there's an audience for that for sure.
Oh, I don't know. I hope not. I hope not for them. Because it feels like.
Are you okay? Like, stop watching me, please.
Are you watching me? Basically, this is just a BetterHelp commercial. I think, we have all these cautionary tales, right? Of like what happens when you lose structure. Like they're going to go banana. It's like the same argument for how can we let gay marriage happen? Now everyone's going to want to marry everything. Could I marry this taco? And you're like, well, this is not even the same thing.
Yeah.
But we have to admit to ourselves that that's deep down inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
That idea that like, if I leave this, I'm just going to be out there in the wind. And then we get out and it feels sometimes like we're out there in the wind. The reason my friend approached me was he was saying like, look, I wish I had had this because I felt so alone and like there was no, there were no rules and I didn't know where to go or what to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing is there is some truth to you have to learn how to renegotiate these things. And it can feel like there is no, it's like a kid. You know, I don't have kids, but you have a lot of them. So you've had enough for me.
I have enough of them.
Where they like, we can't just be like, hey, two-year-old, let's let you set some boundaries, right? There needs to be structure in order to feel safe. So how do you create those things for yourself? And people have been doing it for a really long time.
Yeah, I think for me, I realize I need to do it for myself. It's not something, there's probably not a book out there. You know, there's actually a really famous one, Atomic Habits by James Clear. People love it.
Do I own it? Yes. Have I read it? Also, no.
Yeah. Unbeknownst to me, I used to work out 10 feet from him multiple times a week. He went to our gym. Super nice guy. Very unassuming. He did not walk in and be like, I'm James Clear. Like, I have some habits for you. Like, no, cool guy. I mean, you know, but it's like a fun bit of trivia that was like, all of a sudden it was like, wait a second.
Did someone just tell you one day?
And no, it just kind of clicked for a couple people that was like, oh, dang, that James is that James. But anyway, but I read that book and I read books like it. And it's just like, this is great. But I have crashed against that. Like, here is the new system, that the hot new hotness.
Oh, we love systems. That's the thing about ADHD people. Oh my gosh, systems. We think that's going to be the savior of us.
Yeah,
it'll the be number. This calendar. It's going to be that calendar.
And before that, it was getting things done. I think it's the David Allen or whatever. Like I again, you know, owned it at one point. I think Claire. Not, I think. Gosh, I can't even talk right now. I think Sarah's like actually like reaching for it right now. It looks like.
Yeah.
It looked like you were reaching for it. It's right here.
No, I was thinking like, is Atomic Habits right here, but it's not.
So it's, and those books are great. I mean, I'm not slamming any of those authors or anything, but I've realized that it's like, I can pick a couple things out of that, but I can't do it for myself. I think honestly, bullet journaling has been the thing that helps me. And bullet journals, for those of you that maybe don't know, it's essentially like, it's just a planner that you write things in. It's a fancy name for buying a blank planner and putting dots in it. And like, and that's what it is.
I think you should have a YouTube channel. Just a blank journal, put some dots in it.
Now I would the whole like Bujo community, that's what they call them. You know, Bujos, the bullet journals, like, you know, the whole Bujo, you know, that's a thing. Yes. They would be so mad at me because like you'll go on YouTube or something and I'll be like, that's how I set up my bullet journal. It's like, first I draw a field of flowers and it's like
our
this field of
Keegan does bullet journals. I think
I'm sure they're wonderful, but mine is like plain and boring and extremely utilitarian and with occasional doodles on the side, you know, when I'm in a meeting taking notes or something. Just for me, I've found that taking handwritten notes just helps me. When my life moved digital, I forgot so much stuff because I can ignore a to-do list app like nobody's business. I'm good.
So anxious about it.
I'm good. I think right now, let me just look at my to-do-ist right now. There are seven of them. Seven things. I don't even know what they are because I don't even care to open up the app. Like that's how easy I can ignore these things.
So if we're not doing things for God.
So I have to like put it on paper for me.
Right. So if we're not doing things for what's that internal thing? So for me, like I've still got a little bit of a divine nudge, but I'm not sure what it like. I wouldn't say God wants me to do certain things. Like I would have used that language before. Yeah. So what do you think is that internal?
God might be inclined to direct you towards something.
Right. What do you think is that internal willpower thing? And this is like a philosophical question, but it's also like when you leave one job and you're trying to find a structure and a thing. All aboard.
board. Welcome to the Friskies Express. Please keep all paws and tails inside the train. To the right, you'll see Crunch Canyon. To your left is Filet Falls. Now you're passing Party Mix Peak. Today's delicioso tour is almost over. But don't worry. With Friskies, there's always more to explore. Check out friskies.com to explore more.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Money Maker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, yeah, because when you stop doing things for God or what you think is God, and you find out a lot of what you thought was God was really your inner critic, at least for me, and that is not Justin saying God's not real. Don't quote that. I'm just saying that like a lot of what you think is God is probably your inner critic,
right?
Which is probably some bad messages you got from mom and dad. And I think once I really kind of wrestled with that and got, it's like, yeah, what does motivate me now? There's not this jerk, whether you call it God or your inner critic or whatever, that's like saying you should do something. I mean, it's still there, but I just ignore it now. But like, what is the thing? And I think that's where it gets interesting for me, because I think, yeah, you could just easily just be like, I do whatever I want now. I do what I want. I feed myself occasionally. I answer some emails.
But there are rules outside of that. I mean, I have lots of friends who have never had a concept or idea of God, and they live within boundaries and rules and get up and go to work and do these things and live this way. But it's all about, how do I flourish in life?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the opposite of the inner critic?
Yeah.
And I would call it like almost the divine nudge or invitation, mm-hmm, that invites me into a life that's bigger and more expansive than the one I have. Those are the invitations that I'm like, oh, like when I wake up super early to write in my three pages, there, it feels like an invitation. It feels like this, like, okay, how can I get a lot of these anxious thoughts? Because I live a pretty anxious existence. How can I write these things out? What is the rhythm and the thing? So I'd love to hear from people. Honestly, I'd love to even hear from our Discord or whatever. But like, what are the rhythms or patterns, or what are the things you've found that help you kind of be disciplined? Is discipline even needed? You know, we've got a friend who honestly says, I don't do anything I don't want to do.
Yeah. And it seems to be working out for them.
But Justin has three kids.
I have three kids.
I don't feel like cooking for you today.
Most days I don't.
So flourishing is the answer for me, because I think about like, what makes your kids, like what makes your life flourish? I know you and I know you love those kids.
Absolutely. I think this actually did help me. And this is a book I'll mention. They're not paying me or anything. And it's a bit woo woo. I'll just put this out there, but it's called Wild Mind. It's Reclaiming Original Wholeness. It's by a guy named Bill Plotkin. Wild Mind.
Wild Mind.
And it talks about different poles of the self. And one of them is called the nurturing generative adult. And a whole person kind of moves towards this nurturing generative adult. Now, when it's a sub personality, it's that like drill sergeant. It's that inner critic that's like, do, you know, you have to do it. Or it's the religious professional we all made ourselves become. But I think maybe instead of discipline, it might be better to say, like, how do I parent myself? Like, as in the way that a nurturing generative adult would parent me. And I like those words, nurturing and generative, because it's there is a softness there, but there's also I want to move you towards wholeness. I want you to move you towards, you know, being able to generate something good. And even like being an adult, what even does that mean? We have like hashtag adulting, but like hashtag adulting is just like, I fed myself today. Like, well, great. My kids can do that. Like, that's not adulting.
It's interesting that we don't feel like adults. And I think it's because the standards for adults that a lot of generations have had, we don't have. A lot of us aren't staying in our marriages, like statistically. A lot of us don't have the number of kids we thought we'd have. A lot of us don't own homes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was joking over the Christmas break that like the movie Christmas Vacation is where I believe that you could like have one person working and you could afford a really big house and you're going to have a bunch of kids and life was just going to work out that way. Right. And it's just not, I mean, that hasn't been the case for me anyway. And it just feels like none of us feel, and even those of us who have the quote unquote checkmark things, we're like, I thought this would feel different. So it's fascinating too, because I think we mark people as adults. Like, so I feel like, I'll be honest, I feel like a lot of people have included me in young, when I was a clergy member, in young clergy things, because I'm not married. So
you're not married, therefore you were young.
Right. And I'm like, I'm actually older than all of you, which is not something I'd like to brag about. But I think there is this weird thing of not feeling like we're grown up. And then add on to that, for a lot of us, we've changed careers later in supposed life. And so it does feel this feeling like we're on a slower maturation scale. But I think everyone feels that way, right? It's like an interesting version of the imposter syndrome.
Yeah. And it's, I think we're also asking the question, what does it even mean to be an adult? Like, I was thinking about this today because it snowed today, and I was like, and my kids went to my mom's house, and then it snowed a whole bunch kind of by surprise. And I was like, well, my kids are like stranded at grandma's, which is like, I'm stranded at grandma's. I'm one more night for me to be able to sleep. But I was like, it was snowing, and I was like, I was missing my kids because like, I want to play with them in the snow, you know?
But then I
was like, my dad at 40 years old, my stepdad at 40 years old, men in my life, just generally, like, how many of them at 40 played with me in the snow? Like, not many of them, really. Like, that was, you know, like, and maybe that's just a sad thing to admit, but I was like, men in their 40s, do they look forward to playing in the snow the way I do?
Yeah, I mean, I think not the past generation, but I think the current generation for sure. Yeah,
like absolutely. Like, you know, when I'm 50, I will look for excuses to play in the snow, I hope. And so it's, I think it's a thing that we, I think maybe previous generations, and this is just, you know, had adulthood kind of forced on them in some ways, or or the like, this is what adults do it. Whereas we're like,
is it?
Like, I don't want to do this. Like,
well, I think that's the thing with shifting, right? Mm-hmm. You shift your career, you shift your ideals, you shift your beliefs, whatever it might be. And now it's like, is it everything? Like, is everything up for grabs? Yeah. And the answer is yes. And it always has been.
And I think in a lot of ways that the American dream, whatever you would call it, capitalism, we could veer all kinds of places, just didn't work out for us. It didn't work out for us in the way that it did. And even when it does work out for you, you're like, man, this house just keeps falling apart. Like, I'm basically the landlord of my own house. Like,
I don't know. I've never owned it. I mean, I own a condo, you know, but other people live in it.
You know, it's like the bank owns it and I take care of it. Like, when you just kind of, when that sits on you for a second, you're like,
I think it's my brother who said that my house owns me.
Yeah. Like, I don't own
this house. This house owns me.
I own roughly 25% of this house. You know, like, as someone told me, like, when you buy a house, you've bought a hobby. Like, this is now your hobby, this house. And I think that there are a lot of people that are like, I don't want a house for a hobby.
I do.
Like, I don't want that. So I think it's, and then, so now I have to go, okay, well, what gets me up in the day? It's not God. It's not societal expectations. And I think that's where you can begin to go to kind of lean on that. To me, or this is what works for me, I guess, that nurturing generative adult to help set the agenda for your days and to move with a bit of an ease. You know, in my job, I work in educational publishing, and yeah, there are deadlines and things, but it's like, we're not diffusing nuclear bombs here. Like, it's okay. I do a couple podcasts for fun, and that's meaningful for me. It's meaningful to people, for the people that listen, but we're not curing, you know. And even people curing cancer have to have weekends. Like,
oh my gosh, right?
You know, like,
yeah.
You're not going to cure cancer very well if you never take a day off. Like, that's,
you know, but I think that was the thing with being in ministry, was I never thought I could.
Yeah.
And so now, like, today I had an afternoon to myself. So I tend to fill my weekends. I'm one of those weird people who runs half marathons. And, you know, I love to go to breweries with friends, and I love quite a great full life in a lot of ways. I went skiing. It's been just really great, very privileged. I get it. But I had a week, I had a like weekend where I had a day today where I had about 4 hours that were not scheduled. And I just sat in guilt. Thought maybe I should be working out. Maybe I should be working on, I've got some new coaching clients coming in. Maybe I should like be already like preparing their stuff. I don't have the stuff to prepare their stuff. Literally I was given a week, a day where I could just be, you know what I did? I sewed every bit of sewing that I've needed to do for the last 6 months.
Caught up on your sewing?
I caught up on my sewing because I've like ripped a lot of clothes when I'm working in the trailer, my Airstream. Yeah. I've ripped a lot of clothes. I fixed all those. I like steamed some outfits I had that were wrinkly.
I like.
And I still felt guilty.
Oh,
I know.
Can I release you from this person?
You know what? I have been really lucky in that, like, my past couple of folks that I've been in a relationship with, the guys have been very, like, chill. And I think it's actually been super good for me because I feel like I'm starting to, like, take on a little bit. Like, I've started watching one TV program. The fact that I call it a TV program. But I watch it at night.
One of your Flickr shows?
One of my programs. Yeah. My stories. I'm watching my story. I love watching it. And it, like, in a weird way, it sets rhythm to my evening, right? Like, okay, I'm going to watch this, let my head turn off, and then I'm just going to go to bed. And yeah. It's weird because I feel like in some ways, so I a dear friend of mine's dad is in a pretty difficult medical situation. And so I've been visiting him in the hospital and kind of in a weird, I was their pastor. So now it's a transition thing of like, I'm just a friend, but I've been returning to prayer in a way that like, not in the way that, look, I'm sorry, I just triggered you guys with the word prayer, but
you're fine.
Not in the way that I used to. It's just this like strange intention of sending just hope and light and love toward that person. And I mean it. And but it's not the same as having this belief that if I just do it right, it'll solve the problem.
Yeah. And that's it. These weird little awakenings are the positive ones and the negative ones. They can become shocking. Like I remember very distinctly the moment I stopped caring about theology.
Oh,
it was weird for me because I loved theology. I would write theology. I was very like, you know, I enjoyed debating it and discussing it and kind of like playing around with it. And then it was like, there's just this one, I was at a retreat and there were these three dudes like arguing over something. And I was just, I was walking over to be like, all right, here we go. You know, here, you know,
I'm going to be part of this. I'm into and the midrash.
Yeah, I'm here. Let's do it. You know? And it was just like, I didn't even sit down. I got there and I was like, I do not care about this at all. Like but it was this weird, like, cause I kind of wanted to still care. I don't know if you have that thing where you're like suddenly you're disinterested in something you used to be interested in. You're like, do I sit down and like pretend like and it was just like, and it's not that theology is bad and I still occasionally engage with it. You know, I enjoy
some theology
is sure. But I just I have no desire to fight anymore. Like the fight or to advocate, it just was like, whatever. Like, but those moments too, where suddenly it comes back or like, I haven't prayed for months. I didn't even care to, don't even know if it's real. And then all of a sudden you're like, prayer is pretty cool. And it's just this odd, like,
well, then these, I have like, flashbacks these, like, too, that
positive
like,
and negative
no
awakenings.
There's no atheists in a foxhole.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I hope I'm not that. But I am like, okay, how do I have no agency in this situation. And there's a couple of those in my life right now. I have no agency in this situation. So I can just only send light and love towards it. That's all I got. And that used to be so woo-woo to me. Yeah. And now it's like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Which is like, our brains are so weird that now I'm like, oh, now that makes sense. And like, you know, the arrogance sometimes that we live in. And I like to think of myself as an open person. All this to say, friends, in 2023, discipline for me looks like, what is the best thing I can do today to bring about human flourishing for myself and others? That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I work with this incredible young woman who she's a director of branding and marketing, and she is so talented and I think is just going to blow up. Like, she's just so talented. And I think the other day I was just helping her sort of articulate something that she wanted to do. And I was like, oh, today I was meant to just be here to tell her how great she is so that when she presents, she feels like, oh, no, I got this. Like, and it was enough. It was enough. And I think that's it. It's like all the little ways that I can bring about healing and wholeness and flourishing. Like, I've been working on this. I'm bringing my first book I ever wrote. And it's really interesting, the whole idea of transcending and including. But I brought the work of my first book into my coaching sessions lately.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the awareness, like all the work I did on that wasn't lost and not for naught. Yeah, like
that's cool.
I know how to help people tell a better narrative. And I've known that for years. And I wrote a book about it. And even though I haven't talked about the book in years, it still is really helpful. And so, yeah, I think that's for me. What about you? When you think about discipline for 2023, what is it?
Yeah, I think I'm coming back to this, you know, parenting metaphor. Like, you know, for me, it's like, how can I parent myself or reparent myself? How can I approach the concept of discipline and motivating myself or, you know, getting myself to do things I don't want to do from a posture of like, what would a good parent do? How do I approach it with that kind of energy, that kind of spark, and let that be the thing that gets me out of bed, not the inner critic or not the I should do this, but like I want to do this. I want to show up and be nurturing in this situation. I want to show up and be generative in this situation. I want to flourish in my job because when I do that, other people flourish, and I like that. You know, So I think that's kind of what I'm. That's how I'm attempting to renegotiate my relationship with it, because I can't just let myself be like, discipline, none at all.
I mean, nilly.
It's fun to do that for a while, but yeah, and this is just for me because, you know, I have kids and a mortgage, like the stakes are just too high for me to be like, whatever. And I think, and for you, their stakes are too high. You have coaching clients, you have a job, you have obligations.
And many jobs.
and the older you get, the stakes get higher and higher. And that's not a bad thing. But how do I show up to the important things in my life with an energy that's not frantic or an energy that's not just like barfing my obligations on everybody or showing up to have my anxiety managed? I've been in jobs where it's like, my job is to manage my boss's anxiety. And I don't like that. And I don't want to be that person in the room. That's like, we got to get stuff done. Like, no, like let's be.
I'll be a non-anxious presence up in this.
Yes. Yes. That's what's getting me out of bed these days.
Friends, we would love to hear, what is it for you in 2023 that is kind of your guiding light? If it's faith, that's fine too.
Absolutely.
We want to make space for that as well. We've both been there, and that is not like a super session like we've been there. You'll eventually be on our side. No. It is all part of it. It's all part of the mix. One is not better than the other, I don't think, unless you have a really harmful image of God. So let us know what it is that keeps you kind of moving forward. What's the discipline? What's the thing? Because I know a lot of us are looking for ways to sort of structure our lives because we have moved out of a certain kind of structure. Thanks for listening. Please like and subscribe all over the place. That's really helpful for us. Join our Discord if you'd like. We'll do a little advertisement, I'm sure, that we'll pop in and tell you more about it. But yeah, thanks for joining us on another episode of Rev Covered. Guys, this season is going to be so good. The people we're so have.
Excited. Yeah, it's I so know. Great.
So good. So stick around. We're really glad to have you here. We're really glad to be in this year together, even if it is the year of, I don't know.
Who can say? Well, we're glad you're here with us. So have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you're enjoying the conversations you hear on Recovery, you can continue the conversation with us and many more incredible people in what's known as the Recovery Room on Discord. To access our Discord, please join our Patreon to be a part of this community. You can join for as little as $4 a month, and that gives you access to the community resources as well as it helps us to be able to produce the show. Check it out on patreon.com/recovery. Now, we know that not everyone is able to financially support the show, but there are so many ways you can support us, including giving us a 5-star review wherever you are currently listening, and make sure to like and subscribe across all social media. Recovery Room is on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and that's our handle. So come find us and let's keep the conversation going. On to some final thoughts and this week's poem.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this new episode of Recovery. This is the start of our third season, which is so exciting. We've been doing this for a little while now, and Sarah and I are very proud of the podcast, proud of the community that have come around us, and very, very excited to see where this next season takes us. If this is your first time listening to us, you are in for a treat, because at the end, we always end with a poem or a thought or a little reading just to reflect a little bit on what we've discussed. And it's just kind of a way for our conversation to maybe land a little bit differently. And just, I'll speak personally, I'm not a huge fan of poetry when it's like read to me. When someone says like, hey, I'm going to read you a poem, I'm like, ugh, don't read me a poem. But almost every time I take a moment to sit down and to actually allow some words to hit me and to kind of roll around in my subconscious a bit, it's always a good thing. And so I just want to, if you're like me and poetry isn't really your thing, I just invite you to take a moment to sit still for a second and to just listen. Good news if you don't like poetry, I guess. I'm actually not going to read a poem today. Today is one of those ones I'm just going to read a bit of a story. And it's from the Talmud, and it's just a short one. And as I reflect on discipline, as I think about becoming myself, as I think about who I want to be, this short little story comes to mind. And it's about Akiba, a man named Akiba, and he's on his deathbed. So let me read it. When Akiba was on his deathbed, he bemoaned to his rabbi that he felt he was a failure. His rabbi moved closer and asked why, and Akiba confessed that he had not lived a life like Moses. The poor man began to cry, admitting that he feared God's judgment. At this, his rabbi leaned into his ear and whispered gently, God will not judge Akiba for not being Moses. God will judge Akiba for not being Akiba. And that is such a relief to me, that I am not judged by how well someone else can do, by how disciplined someone else can be, by how holy or pure or whatever someone else can be. I'm judged by me. And that's a relief to me. And I hope it's a relief to you. And my hope for you this year, and for myself as well, is that we can become who we are more and more every day. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.